And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Kind of do this program tonight with a little mixed feeling. I'll tell you why. It's an incredible story of the Star Child Project. It came to us from a dear friend named Lloyd Pye. Lloyd came to us years ago, was a regular guest on Coast to Coast, was literally obsessed with trying to find out what this skull was, always believed that it was an extraterrestrial child. Lloyd died in December of 2013. He was never able to get the answers he was looking for. So we're going to dedicate this program to Lloyd today. Now, in a moment, we'll be talking with two guests. Chase Kletsky, of course, noted researcher and trainer. And Melanie Young. Melanie is the owner of this incredible Star Child skull that we've talked about over the years. She let Lloyd Pye investigate it years ago, and we're going to talk with her about this as well. This is an amazing story, folks, and we'll have it next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. I'm going to introduce you to two amazing people. First of all, Chase Kletsky. Chase earned her Master's of Training, Master's Instructor's titles while employed with the Department of Defense. Armed with a biomechanical engineer's accreditation, she was responsible for designing specialized programs regarding force readiness, unique mission responsibilities, and elite force protection. Then, there's an amazing turnabout, as a ufologist, she's an international investigator deploying scientific methods into things that just aren't supposed to be. She's best known for putting boots to the ground and forensic evidence and examinations is the goal in every investigation. Let's say hi first to our friend, Chase Kletsky. Hey, Chase, welcome back.
Oh, my gosh, George, it's great to be with you again.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be amazing because you brought us another guest who I've wanted to talk to for a long time. Melanie Young. Melanie is a registered nurse. She has worked in the neonatal unit of a very busy hospital for more than 14 years. And before she was given a very strange gift that changed her life, Melanie opened the box and there were two skulls inside. One was a normal human, but the other was very strange that she said she's never seen anything like it. She took one look at it and said, "How did you survive?" Melanie wanted to know if there was some way for that miracle element to be isolated, engineered into a treatment to help other babies survive. We're going to get into this story as well. And Melanie, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here after all these years.
Oh, my gosh. Where have you been? Have you been hiding? You've been so low-key.
Well, you know, I had a life before the Star Child. I had children, and I don't think anybody at the hospital would have appreciated me coming out with this crazy scheme. So we just kind of let Lloyd handle it, and I was grateful that he did.
At this point, are you coming forward because Lloyd has passed on, or what's the reason for it?
To finish the work.
Okay.
That's the main thing.
It's an honor to him to do that.
We hadn't gotten the answers yet, so we need to get the answers.
No, he really wanted before he died to get this DNA done. Oh, my God. He really did. Chase, let's bring you in here and set the stage for all of this. You're a great investigator. We've known you for years. Tell me about your involvement with the Star Child skull.
It started with Melanie approaching me at the International UFO Congress, a conference that just a few weeks ago in Arizona. It was a meeting that, like you said earlier, George, it really changes you when you see this skull. But she presented the skull to me in a very, very private meeting in a hotel room. And I've heard about the Star Child skull for many, many years, have read articles on it, and I was shocked at how much information I had wrong or things that I thought were true about the skull from, you know, stories of the internet that just weren't. And listening to Melanie explain the anomalies, and while I'm looking at the skull, the actual skull for the first time, it's shocking. creates emotion. It takes emotion from you. It's just amazing in a very good way. It's just an experience to see the skull in person.
I remember seeing Lloyd Pye back several years ago. And, of course, he has talked about the skull all his life, God rest his soul. And he was just mesmerized by it, Chase. He just, it's just something that just became his life. And what a life he had. I mean, he was a football punter in college, and he was doing all these things. But when he got it, his life changed. So, Melanie, tell us first and foremost, how did you obtain the skull in the first place?
I had quit my job nursing, gone into massage therapy, opened up my own massage clinic. One of my employees, her husband, knew the original owner, knew the woman that had found it. And she had passed away, and he had received the skull, the two skulls. And he knew of my history. He knew that I was kind of interested in the sideline of ufology and stuff, and he had me look at it. First, he gave me pictures, and I was like, okay, I got no clue what this is. I have to really see and touch and hold this thing.
Yeah.
So 2 days later, he brings it in, and my life changes forever.
It was that in the 90s?
98.
Okay.
97, 98, because I gave it to Lloyd. I met Lloyd in February before the international conference in 1999.
You met him there?
I met him. He was coming through El Paso. On his way there, we had set up, our local MUFON group had set up an evening with Lloyd for him to do his lecture on Everything You Know Is Wrong. I had never heard of him. I didn't know of his work. And they said, well, let's take it. I showed it to him, and they didn't know what it was. They said, well, let's let Lloyd look at it when he comes into town and see what he thinks.
I know I had done a television show with Lloyd beyond belief, and he brought a replica of the skull. Mm-hmm. And just to hold it, Melanie, was amazing. And to even think that you might be holding a replica of an alien head was just, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Try holding the real one.
Yeah.
Yes, it is totally mind-boggling. It really puts you start to realize, you know, how insignificant we are. That, you know, this thing lived 900 years ago when, if it was a human, it would not have lived. It wouldn't have been able to live with that many differences, deformities, if you will.
Where is the skull now? Do you have it locked up somewhere?
Yes, it is. It's locked up in a nice, safe place, and we have it separated. We do have the maxilla is in a separate location because it has teeth, and that is like the prize, the gold piece mm-hmm. of this whole thing, because that's where the DNA will be found.
Without DNA, neurologist Stephen Novella thinks that this skull was a human, a baby, that contracted hydrocephalus, which is an enlarging of the brain and the skull with a very wretched disease. What do you think of that?
I've seen 100 of hydrocephalic children. Hydrocephalic is where there's water on the brain. It's the cerebral spinal fluid collection is made in the ventricle of the brain, if you will. Well, that's what it's called, in the middle of the brain. And it makes more than it gets rid of. A baby who has hydrocephalic, their head swells up. 900 years ago, a baby would not survive.
And this baby, how old do we think it was?
It's not a baby.
It's a little human?
It's not baby, it's not human. It could be anywhere between 5 to 20.
Hybrid?
I mean, we don't know. It's not a hybrid. The DNA shows that it does not have any human DNA in it. Or no, how do you explain DNA? Everything in the universe is made up of certain amino acids and peptides. There are so many chemicals in the universe. So yes, it's got some human DNA, but it is not human. We've had numerous studies. Novella, basically, he quotes the 99th DNA study. Please, please, everybody understand, human DNA wasn't even...
That's a long time ago. It wasn't perfected.
The human DNA, the human genome, wasn't completed until 2003. So for anybody to say whatever was found in 1999 is the end all is...
That's 20...
Sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, because up until... 2011, even the primers that were out there only test for human primers because that's what we know. If it doesn't match up with those primers, we just throw it out as junk DNA. The junk DNA is where we need to be looking because this doesn't match up to anything else.
Are you going to be able to get new DNA done as Lloyd wanted to a long time ago?
As we all want to. Yes. We will be able to do it. It's just a matter of when, how, and who. And that's the case. We have a geneticist who is able to do it. They doesn't have the right equipment in the lab. And so that's the key. There's only a few labs that have the right equipment.
You would think a lab, Melanie, would do this just to be curious and investigate it.
I mean, you would think they would want to be the one, they would be all over this, but they're not, and I don't get it.
Chase,
I don't understand why they're not all over this.
Chase, when you looked at the Star Child skull, what did you think?
My first impression was awe. It really was, George, because to see the pictures on the internet are interesting enough, but to actually examine the things that you read about, the thickness of the skull, and when you see the eye sockets and how truly different they are, and where the sinuses should be, or where the neck, where the spinal column should be going up in a position totally different from a human, it's curious, and it is absolutely anomalous, which is something I needed to do was to look at this with that scientific or that investigative agenda, which is dispassionately. So I'm looking at it, and of course, what your mind is going to is, oh my gosh, this looks a little alien. But this is something that needs to stay out of my investigation. I have to remain completely neutral and let the scientists make the conclusions and declarations. I don't know how to read fully a geneticist report or a DNA analysis sheet that would be handed to us. I would need an expert to help me understand what this means. So it wouldn't be right for me to make any sort of claims one way or another. Melanie and I, it's one of the things I was most impressed with when we first started talking about working together. And when she asked me to lead this investigation, she said, Chase, I'm not married to an outcome. I just want to solve the mystery.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew we were on the same page. However this turns out, it's going to be a scientific discovery. It's not going to be a proclamation from either one of us.
Melanie, you said it wasn't a child, but why is it called the Star Child Skull?
Well, understand where I'm coming from. As a neonatal nurse, I worked in pediatrics for two to four years. And it's a very, very small, light-weighted skull. And it has a tiny, tiny face. So it looks like a child's skull. But then you have to look.
It does.
It's a stronger look, and it's got teeth. So it's not an infant. The bones are sealed. The bones are together. They're fused together. It's not a baby. But it's small like a child. Then you look, it's got teeth, but they're adult teeth. So I was just really confused when we took it up to, well, I handed the skull over within 20 minutes to Lloyd. And I said, you're my guy, you run with it, and I'll back you 100%. And he took it up to Laughlin. We flew up for the weekend, and then they started doing studies on it, and they called us because we had to come back home. A family member died. And they called us and says, you know, we really need to go public, because they were totally freaking Lloyd out, afraid that they, you know, the conspiracy, they were going to kill him, the government was going to steal it, and they were going to kill him. So they wanted to go out public, and that's when Lloyd said, you know, we need a name, because we've got Lucy out there. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, Tom, Dick, Harry, I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
So that's kind of just, it's a child, and I'm thinking we're at the UFO conference, so let's go with Star Child. Probably not my best job, my best thought process.
If you do a DNA and it turns out to be a hybrid or all extraterrestrial, what does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that it doesn't tell me anything I don't already know. We're not alone. What it tells me is there's genetics here. It tells me, you know, maybe Lloyd was right. Maybe there is some genetic engineering. I don't know. But what it does tell me is there's information. There's information. Maybe we can take whatever it is in this skull that gave it the fibers and figure out what made those fibers in the bone and see if we can figure out something to help us make our bone structure.
Chase, your thoughts, if it's determined to be extraterrestrial of origin.
Well, I have to be the investigator here and say that the only way we could do that is if we had comparison DNA from an extraterrestrial. If we find that unknown, they're going to throw it in a junk pile. So that's kind of where we really need a tenacious scientist and continue to test and retest. But what that would tell me is that aliens have been with us and interacted because of the story of how the Star Child skull and full skeleton was originally found with this human. So to me, I would go back to the original story. But, you know, saying that it's going to be alien or a hybrid, oh my gosh, George, without that comparison DNA, that's not even an option as a conclusion right now.
You can't say that. Did you know Lloyd Pye, Chase?
I did not know him. I knew of his work.
Great
obviously.
Guy.
You know, this is a big artifact and a piece of evidence in the UFO field, and we've known that for a long, long time. That, quite honestly, it's possibly the only testable scientific advantage we have.
Well,
in the UFO field.
When he had his lymphoma, he kept it relatively quiet for a while. Melanie, I believe when I did my Beyond Belief show with him several years ago before he passed, I think he had it then, and he knew it and said nothing to us.
He only knew about it for 3 months before he passed.
And it happened quickly, too.
It would happen very quickly. He had an uncle that died the same way.
Oh.
So I think he had a clue that it was coming, but it only took him about 3 months.
Jeez.
3 to 4 months.
And there was nothing he could do.
There was nothing. He chose to go an alternative route. And
totally alternative.
It just didn't work.
No. I've always recommended just do a combination of real medicine and alternative together, not one or the other. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more about the Star Child Project. Chase is with us, Chase Kletsky, of course, and the owner of the skull, Melanie Young. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're going to take your calls next hour, by the way. Our special guest, Chase Kletsky, she's a UFO investigator, and Melanie Young, the owner of the Star Child skull. Melanie, when you look at the actual skull, and I've seen the replica, and it is indeed strange, but the thing you really notice beyond the size of the skull are the huge eye sockets.
That's the first thing that got me when I saw it. Those were the most unusual things I've ever seen. And they resonate with a lot of the abductees out there. I was talking with Tom Reed the other day, and he says, you know, that just looks like something I've seen before. So I think, you know, we're kind of on the track that it might actually be of extraterrestrial origin, And it, you know, kind of makes sense. The eye sockets are so narrow, kind of wrap around the head. Kind of makes sense on how something would see in darkness.
Yeah.
And they're flattened, which also we're finding that the astronauts who are on the space station, their eyes flatten over time.
They get a little blurry. They get a little blurry after a while.
Yeah. But the actual eyeball flattens.
Yeah.
So that we're thinking, well, maybe, I mean, you can draw your own conclusion, but that is definitely something to think about when you're looking at this skull and about the way the eyes are shaped.
Is there any tissue left in the skull?
No.
Nothing.
There's no soft tissue. It's just straight bone.
It is. Does it look like somebody tried to clean it?
Well, actually, probably the best thing that could have ever happened to it, it looks as if the original owner shellacked it.
Really?
On the outside. It looks kind of shiny. But that's a good thing because it's actually protected it from more decomp.
And when you do DNA on it, you can use the bone, obviously, can't you?
Yes. The DNA that we have gotten thus far is from the bone. It's contaminated, okay? You can't, it's not pristine DNA. The pristine DNA is going to be in the tooth.
Okay.
In the teeth, because that's not contaminated. That's inside the bone itself.
Are you a little skittish of, you know, drilling into the tooth or doing whatever you need to do?
We're very, very afraid of doing that because we only have two. We had three, and the lab in 1999 took one, and in hindsight, we probably shouldn't have given it to them. They weren't qualified. To deal with ancient DNA.
What are you expecting of Chase now?
Chase is my, is going to become my bestest buddy. And she's helping me maneuver through the field. The first thing she asked me is, well, do you have documentation that Lloyd gave you the skulls? And I looked at her and said, I gave Lloyd the skull. So she's basically helping me get my name out there as the owner and the expert of what's really been going on, because Lloyd and I were like brothers and sisters. I was behind the scenes. He didn't make one step without talking to me.
And first. Never mentioned your name.
We didn't want him to.
Yeah.
We didn't want to muddy the waters with us.
I assume you heard some of his shows with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, don't mention
actually,
my name.
He did one of your shows while he was at my house.
Ah, all right.
So he and I were just like brother and sister.
He was really a trooper. Nice. He was, and I would assume, knowing you now the way I do, just in this brief moment, that you would like to get this solved for him too.
That's my goal. Lloyd gave up everything. Pardon me if I cry, but Lloyd gave up everything for me and for this skull. He gave up everything, and I owe it to him to finish it.
I have never met somebody who was so immersed in a specific project than Lloyd with this one. He would not give up. He lived it 24/7. When I would meet him in person at a conference, he'd have his wife with him, but it was the Star Child, the Star Child, the Star Child. I swear if we sat down to dinner, Melanie and Chase, he would have put the skull on a chair next to him. He was that into it.
Oh, yeah. He was. And I remember him calling me saying, I've let you down. On numerous occasions, and I'm like, what? There's no way, Lloyd. You never let me down. You've done everything humanly possible. And he even said that when he got cancer. He said, I let you down. I wasn't able to finish it.
Ugh.
And I looked at him and I said, Lloyd, you'll have the answer before anybody else will.
Yeah.
He
sure
looked
will.
At me and he says, you know, you're right. I said, yeah.
So, Chase, now you're picking up the torch. How do you feel about that?
It's an honor. I have a lot of respect for Lloyd's work, obviously, for all the reasons that you've just stated. but also the fact that he tried so diligently to get that scientific answer, and he fought against mainstream science every turn, and we're learning how difficult that is as we speak, because setting up testing, we have several first steps done. We have appointments. Melanie and I are going to start in Texas and take a little road trip up to Oklahoma, and this starts at the end of the month, and it really begins a journey into truly accredited, the best names out there, starting to examine and test the skull, and we're just going to start from zero. The best way I can honor Lloyd Pye's work is to be completely independent. That's part of the scientific process, is to test blindly and to, do it in a very independent way. And let Lloyd's work be his work. So I'm not hijacking anything of Lloyd Pye's. I honor that. I'm an investigator too.
Right.
So to take somebody else's work and leap off that and, maneuver it into mine is not going to happen. This is a completely new investigation, new scientists, new laboratories. I don't use UFO analysts, and only because it's like the prosecution trying to prove its case with its own witnesses and their own experts. So we're very diligent in trying to meet that admissibility and the burden of proof, because one thing that, again, another thing I should say that impressed me about Melanie was this information belongs to the public. This isn't private. We're not going to be vague with any results. The public, humanity, and this skull needs to speak for itself. There's enough proclamations out there on the internet. There's enough people weighing in with opinions or, their own analysis, and that's fine. But this time, we're going to let the skull speak through scientific process, and scientific process only.
If it's determined that the skull is human, will that bother you, Melanie? What do you think?
So be it.
So be it.
That will answer my question.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Science is going to prove what science is going to prove. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's still historic.
I do not hear, and Chase, I want your input in this, many people in the UFO community jumping up and down to try to find out what this is.
It makes me wonder, with some of the best evidence we have, that the community doesn't pull together with that tenacious ferocity we could have as a group, to want and help with connections or publicity for the artifact. It surprises me, and every once in a while I ask myself, are we really ready? We all think we are, and yet some of the best evidence we have in the UFO field is some of the most ignored stories out there. And we all haven't been always the best to our greatest asset, and that is our alleged abductees, contactees, and experiencers. You have somebody that comes out and gives you a story, and they're telling you of their experiencers, and what we put them through is demanding enough. Now put them out in the public. Oh my gosh. So, I often wonder if we're really ready for the truth when we're so hard on the evidence, or how quickly it can be ignored or dismissed. I just had about, with a colleague that completely bombarded the information on the Starchild skull. And George, they're sourcing blogs. It's like, stop already, guys. Let the science, let the investigation process happen, and let's find out. And like you asked Melanie, what happens if it's human? I will be so happy, George, just to have a scientific conclusion in any way. We rarely get that in the UFO field. So I just want to solve the mystery of the Starchild skull. So any conclusive answer will be a victory.
How much, Melanie, could a DNA report cost? I know years ago Lloyd was trying to get it done, and it was a little prohibitive for him.
Well, we actually had a lab that gave us a quote of $250,000 per year for 3 years. If after 2 years
Sounds
they weren't getting any results, then we would say, okay, walk away from it. It can be done. And right now we just literally, I hate to keep asking for money, but you know, right now we just need to throw some money at it.
Why don't you do like a Kickstarter campaign or something?
We did. You know how much money we got?
How much?
$35,000.
When did you do that?
Right after Lloyd passed.
You didn't come on our show to try to tell people. That would have been huge for you. You got to market it.
People didn't know me, and it was hard to. I didn't have Chase, somebody who had the tenacity to tell people they need to get me on the shows. Once Lloyd died, it really, there was nobody with a face or a voice behind him.
I don't recall a lot of people. I knew Lloyd well, and his name was known well. But I don't recall a lot of people running to back him up or endorse him for what they were doing. They were more concerned about implants in people or abduction cases or sightings, all of which, Chase, you've looked at too. But they really didn't go wild over the skull, and I always wondered why.
It's a question I've asked myself many times. I've even asked Melanie, why is the Star Child skull so controversial, even to this day? It is extremely controversial, and it's complicated. The first thing I need to do with this case is to sort it out. It's very, very, the waters out there are very muddy when it comes to the information. Even when I first met Melanie, I'm like, oh, so you're the person who got the skull after Lloyd passed. Of course, that was benighted because she has always been the owner. But that's how much we don't know about the truths because of all the information on the internet. So the first thing that I think we need to do is just kind of, you know, clean things up and you know, start putting the facts out there, which is why it's important that Melanie speak and, you know, we just get it out there. But it could be that it's scary. When you look at the skull, it is so anomalous. There's hardly anything on there that resembles the human skull sitting right next to it. It's very, very odd.
Melanie, if I remember correctly, wasn't the skull found at a site in Mexico with a human skeleton?
Yes, there was, the story goes, and that's all this is, because I'm not going over there to look for it. It's not the safest place in the world now. But she went to the village of where her family lives, which is Delicias, in the Copper Canyon region. It's about 150 miles south of here. And she was, all the kids are, you just don't go into the mine shafts. They're not safe. You still have the cartel. You had it back then. You still have it now. And so you don't go in there. Well, teenagers, what do? They go do it. So she went up into this mine, and she came upon a complete human skeleton laying on top of the ground. In and of itself, that's weird, because it was just laying there. There was, like, no sign of struggle. It wasn't curled up in a ball like it had been sick or nothing, just laying flat on the ground. And then she noticed a little mound next to it and a very deformed, misshapen hand coming out of that mound. Because it was in a cave, it was real easy to dig up that mound, and she found a complete skeleton, totally misshapen, with this skull. And she packed it all up in a basket, was going to bring them all home. I don't know what she was thinking, how she was going to get it into the car without everybody seeing it. But she wasn't supposed to have it, so she left it outside and hid it outside. We live in a desert. When it rains, it pours. We have torrential rain.
And it just stays there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it all got washed away, and the next morning, all she could find were the two skulls.
Wow. Any idea how the specimen died?
You know, there is absolutely no idea. I'm a romantic at heart, so I'm thinking maybe it got sick or it got hurt and it died, and she buried it and she held its hand while she laid down and died. But that's just my romantic person. I have no clue because there was no signs of injury, but then it's hard to tell because it was so deformed.
And I think there have been sketches of what the skull would look like in its somewhat human form, right?
There have been numerous artist renditions of it, and I say take that with a grain of salt, because anytime you're doing art through human eyes on something this unhuman, it's not going to fit in your parameters. So you're going to try to make it look as human as possible, and it just doesn't fit in any of those parameters. So yeah, there's a lot of pictures out there, a couple of clay models that have been done. And I don't think any of them really give us a true idea of what this thing would look like.
Melanie, what websites are you using now?
We have the StarChildProject.com, StarChild Project on Facebook, and I have my own Facebook page where you get my grandkid and the Star Child all at the same time
Under your name?
under Melanie Young. Yeah.
Okay, Melanie Young. Okay, and Chase, how about you? What websites are you using these days?
I just have my personal website, chasekletsky.com, and
And
I
you
do
better
have
spell
a
it.
StarChild page, although I have it listed as an unknown
Ha.
skull at
You,
this
why don't
time.
you spell your website?
It is Chase, ChaseKlotzke.com.
Super. Okay, for both of you. Chase, we're going to keep you to talk about some UFO related stories and phone calls. And Melanie, I want to thank you for being on the program to talk about this incredible skull, something that we have talked about over all these years with the now the very late Lloyd Pye. What a guy he was. We'll be back.